Welcome to Daily Devotion with Ken Gurley. Devotions designed to inspire you on your daily walk with God. Each day we walk through the vital principles of the abundant life. Our Lord can do above and beyond all we ask or think. Here's your host, Ken Gurley.
Scientists have long observed that people can tune out background noise. They can tune out the noise and hear a single person over a crowded restaurant. It's called the cocktail party effect, or selective hearing. Sometimes we hear, some things we choose not to hear. We can't stop this noisy world. There is a cacophony of rattles and squeaks and roars and rumbles and crashes coming across our world today. The decibel level grows ever louder. As Daniel prophesied, travel and knowledge would increase in the last days. We're seeing the shrinking of the world, the expansion of information. This is not a trend that will probably change anytime soon. It will, I think, continue until this old earth melts with the fervent heat, no matter how people try to stop it. In 1920, a Nebraska inventor designed the first automobile alarm. In 2004, New Yorkers proposed a bill to ban car alarms as a public nuisance. A fourth of all American households report being bothered by street noise. More and more Americans, some 82%, now complain about noisy mobile phone conversations in public. George Prochnick, author of In Search of Silence, said, "I think we're seeing noise tied to a host of problems of the age. Problems of attention, aggression, insomnia, and general stress. Noise is now the default position as a society. But I believe we have to make an effort to build a passionate case for silence. We have noise-canceling headphones, earbuds. We craft noise-canceling technologies and spaces in home and office. Yet we live in a noisy world, and so we choose. We choose to hear, and we choose not to hear. I say, choose to hear the important." My name is Ken Gurley, and on Daily Devotion this week, we're talking about trusting in the God who is able. It was Tacitus who described a man hurling railing accusations against another man. When the man stopped speaking, the one being accused said, "You are lord of your tongue, but I am also master of my ears. You may say what you please, but I will only hear what I choose." You remember when Jehoshaphat said, "I've heard 400 voices, but I'm not hearing that certain sound." We're sort of in the same boat. We're hearing a lot of voices, but we need to choose to exercise discernment. You remember that one of the qualities of the righteous, as described by Isaiah, is can we stop our ears from the plotting of violence? What voices should we listen to? For anyone that's going through a great trial or great sorrow, you know that most of what is told to you helps you actually very little. In fact, like Job's comforters, it can end up hurting you more than helping you. There are six questions we should ask of any advice that we're given. We need to ask these six questions. Number one, is it biblical? Two, is it factual? Three, is it necessary? Four, is it teachable? Five, does it recognize the fallibility of human counsel? And six, and perhaps equally important to biblical, is it being given in love? It may pass all other areas, but if it's not truth spoken in love, then it's not worth listening to. We are not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. God gives us godly counsel. We listen to those who will give us a more sure word of prophecy. We listen to the gentle voice of the Holy Spirit. Scripture says the Holy Spirit is our teacher, not some revered anointed one, a guru in the Himalayas. You and I have the spirit of understanding in our heart. Yes, He gives us pastors and leaders and elders and parents. He speaks to us through His word, through the prophetic voice, the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, interpretation of tongues. But look for counsel from those who walk in godly integrity. Appreciate those who care enough about you to speak truthfully in love to you. Understand that no counselor is infallible. They're human. They make mistakes. Give deference to those you recognize that God has placed in your life to authenticate what God is speaking to you. You need to ignore some voices. Ignore advice from false friends. Let me talk about this one a bit. One of David's sons, Amnon, had a certain friend. He was not a true friend. He advised Amnon to go against the law of God to fulfill his selfish desires. Amnon obeyed his friend's counsel, but to his own hurt. There are people who do not have your best interests at heart. If you heed their counsel, you're tying the rope of an anchor around your own ankle. Don't listen to the voices of false friends or of doomsayers or prophets of destruction. I don't doubt that this world will become a wretched place in anticipation of the Lord's return. Scripture tells us that. But I refuse to listen to voices who constantly prophesy doom and destruction. They are the pseudo-spiritual Rasputins in our midst. You leave the house today, bad things are going to happen. That's what they say. I see a car wreck in your future. Avoid that kind of person. There's something I sense about them. I had a dream about you the other night. It involved a snake, a witch. Have you ever heard people like this? You get the picture. It seems to me there is enough bad news in this world without manufacturing false news of our own. Practice selective hearing. Choose not to hear such voices. Trust God, lean on Him, listen to His voice, and leave your life in His hands, not in the advice and counsel of false prophets. Here's another voice you should not listen to, and that's the voice of fear. This follows on the doomsayers, but it changes in character somewhat. These are the voices that encourage us to withhold our best efforts, to just wait in patience for another day, a day that will never come unless someone takes a step of faith. Tobiah was a nemesis of Nehemiah in reconstructing the wall of Jerusalem. In mocking the wall, Tobias the Ammonite said, "Even a fox can leap over this wall." What did Nehemiah do? He turned to God and said, "Hear us, O Lord. We're despised. Would you turn their insults back on their own heads?" I like what the Matthew Henry commentary says here. Many a good work has been looked upon with contempt by proud and haughty scorners. Those who disagree in almost everything will unite in persecution of those doing something for God. Nehemiah did not answer these people according to their own folly, but he looked to God in prayer. Ignore the voices that try to instill fear in your heart. David was the only one on the battlefield that day who knew to shut his ears to the insults of the Philistine giant. He had so trained himself to hear the voice of God that he could silence the voices of fear, shut out those fearful voices. Here's another voice you should shut out: gossip. Solomon said that a whisperer separates chief friends. Some people will believe anything if it's whispered to them. An old British castle had these lines inscribed over the door. "They say." What do they say? Let them say. Yes, they will always say. Here's a rule of thumb when someone gossips to you. If they gossip to you, they will gossip about you. So choose what you hear and what you don't hear. I know some people live for gossip. They live for the latest and the vilest. But our ears are not trash cans. Choose not to hear gossip. Here's some of the fifth and sixth voices to ignore. Ignore unjust criticism and insincere flattery. You may think it odd, but if I listen to the criticisms people offered me all the time about what I do for God, I would end up doing nothing. Though well-intentioned, I'm sure, it's not the divine whisper, that still small voice of God in their throats. We seek to please the one who died for us, not the many who have opinions about what we should and shouldn't do. It's a part of the plan of the enemy to paralyze us. And two things paralyze us: criticism, the fear that we've done something wrong, and flattery, false praise. Two sides of the same coin. Criticism, that's what was envisioned by David. "I, like a deaf man," David said, "do not hear." Don't listen for the criticisms of others. Given the right set of circumstances, frustration, fatigue, feelings of insecurity will give voice to all sorts of criticism. Don't listen to them. It's not the critic who counts, Roosevelt said. It's not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or whether the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who's actually in the arena. Don't listen to the criticism. Don't sip the Kool-Aid of flattery. Or as the politician Adlai Stevenson once said, flattery is okay so long as you don't inhale. Flattery is the art of telling another person exactly what he thinks of himself. It's not communication, it's manipulation. There's nothing more worthwhile than a sincere compliment, and we should be trained to give them. As Mark Twain once said, I can live for 2 months on a good compliment. One genuine attaboy, attagirl can provide us the fuel we need to move forward. So yes, let our speech be salted with truth and kindness, but let our hearing be choosy when it comes to flattery. While it's far easier to hear flattery than criticism, choose to tune out the flattery. Because when it's all said and done, you and I as believers are playing to an audience of one. Stephen Roy, in his book, What God Thinks When We Fail, tells a story about a young violinist who lived in London many years ago. And although he was a superb musician, he was deathly afraid of large crowds, so he avoided giving concerts. But after enduring criticism for his unwillingness to give concerts, and after being told he had to perform, he finally agreed to perform in the largest concert hall in London. The young violinist came onto the stage and sat alone on a stool. He put his violin under his chin and he played for an hour and a half. No music in front of him, no orchestra behind him, no breaks, just an hour and a half of absolutely beautiful violin music. After 10 minutes or so, even the critics put down their notes and just listened like the rest. After the performance, the crowd rose to its feet and began applauding wildly, and they just wouldn't stop. But the young violinist didn't acknowledge the applause. He just kept scanning and looking and staring at the audience, going from one corner to the next, from the orchestra level all the way up to the mezzanine and into the balconies, as if he was looking for someone. Finally, apparently, he found what he was looking for. Relief came over his face, and then he began to smile and acknowledge the cheers and applause. It was after the concert. One of the critics met the young violinist backstage and said, "You were wonderful, but I do have one question. Why did it take you so long to acknowledge the applause of the audience?" The young violinist took a deep breath and answered, "You know, I was really afraid of playing here, yet this was something I knew I needed to do. Tonight, just before I came on stage, I received word that my master teacher was to be in the audience, and I just had to know what he thought of my playing before I could respond. And that was all that mattered, and I looked and looked over the audience and finally found him high in the balcony, standing, applauding, with a big smile on his face. And after seeing the master, I was able to relax and think. If the master is pleased with what I've done, then everything else is going to be okay." And isn't that the way it is with us? Each day, we long to hear him say, "Well done." Selective hearing. Listen for the voice of the Lord.
Thank you for sharing in daily devotion with Ken Gurley. We pray this ministry has been a source of encouragement and strength to you. Please be mindful that your financial support enables us to meet with you each day. To give a donation or connect with us, visit our website at kengurley.com. There you will also find the latest books, podcasts, and resources. Blessed 90 Days to Change Your World is Pastor Gurley's latest book. You can get your copy of this life-changing book at kengurley.com. May God's favor rest on you in every way until we meet again.